Between now and 2013, the Earth will experience horrific cataclysms and at an ever-increasing pace. They will be the result of a large object, generically referred to as Planet X, and it will soon pass through the core of our solar system. This object was first observed in 1983 by NASA's Infrared Astronomical Satellite, more commonly known as IRAS, and was reported in the September 10, 1984 edition of U.S. News and World Report. Many times the size of Earth, it is very large and dark and dusty, and will not be visible to the naked eye for a few years. When it does, it will appear in the sky like a smaller second sun before it leaves the core of our system. While man-made pollution does aggravate global warming, the inconvenient omission is really dealing with the interaction between the Sun and Planet X. You see, it is the Sun that is the principal engine of global warming. There are simply not enough resources to save everyone. In fact, most will be left to fend for themselves because our governments will have a higher agenda. That being, to ensure the survival of our species. Industrialized governments all across the globe are working feverishly to launch a vast fleet of solar observatories into space. Many of these satellites are already operational, and they will help our governments to sound the alarm in time for us to seek shelter from the deadly radiation of violent solar storms. Eventually, the time will come when those chosen to survive the coming cataclysm by our governments are spirited away into vast networks of subsea and subterranean survival arcs. So who will they be? There are the obvious choices, such as the military and those with political connections. Their primary role will be to help our government ensure its own continuity. A second goal, and equally urgent, will be the survival of our species. That need demands special survival profiles. Obvious survival profiles will be those of physicians and caregivers. To help us rebuild our world after Planet X passes, we'll need a next generation of intelligent, educated professionals and scientists of healthy breeding age. Most of these will not know they've been chosen until they are taken away from their loved ones. There will not be enough room nor resources to keep both them and their parents and grandparents alive. As painful as the separations will be, those who watch their loved ones being taken away will feel a genuine gladness in their hearts. Meanwhile, those chosen will come to feel the weighty burden of a new and profound responsibility. The brave ones will accept it. For those left to fend for ourselves, it will be panic as usual. We'll learn that rigid thinkers become fragile survivors. America's military might will be recalled from overseas posts and retasked to the business of maintaining martial law throughout the nation. There will be no guarantees for those chosen by their governments to survive, as well as for those left to fend for themselves. But there will be those who are prepared. They will plan their routes to safe havens long before the early signs of crisis become undeniable. Then, when the time comes, they will be prepared, and they will know how to act calmly and quickly. As they make their way to safety, they will join with like-minded others and form small survival groups, where service to others is the rule and not the exception. Eventually, Planet X will leave us in peace once again, and the steadfast few who have survived through a philosophy of service to others shall arise from the ruins. They will embrace this new future with humility, compassion, tolerance, and above all, love.
But I can tell you the U.S. government for the last 10 years have been on a crash shelter building program from coast to coast.
First-person confirmation of a secret government bunker program. The architect's claim is explosive, but it pales compared to what he reveals next.
How big is the largest one you know of then, without saying where or when or who?
The largest one I know of is about 300,000 square feet. It is built by the government. It is located in the Midwest under a obvious government facility.
Back in June 11th, 1972, in the L.A. Times, the lead physicist for the RAND Corporation, he said that in 1972, the government had the technology to excavate tunnels across the United States and put maglev trains in there were capable of doing 10 to 14,000 miles an hour. Now, this is not science fiction. We have the capability to do it. These are U.S. patents by Los Alamos National Laboratories talking about thermal nuclear boring machines that melt through rock just like you're taking a knife through butter. People keep thinking rock is hard. You have to break it down. That's what we've been misled to believe when it comes to tunneling.
I'm Phil Schneider. I worked 17 years for the United States government as a geologist and aerospace engineer as well as a structural engineer. I worked for such elusive occupations with Morrison Knudsen, Bechtel, Page & Page, Aerospatiale of France, and a host of other EG&G and a host of other Los Alamos laboratory. And like I said, I worked 17 years. Co-invented methods of shape charge blasting as well as laser rock deflagration. Which means rock is literally melted or powdered by a special maser-laser combination, and the residue of the rock underneath is applied as a coating, as a liquid coating, kind of like instant agate.
Right now, there are 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States. There's 1,477 of them worldwide. Each one has an average cost of $17 to $19 billion. Each one is built in the site. It'd take a year to 2 years to build each one, and now they're capable of building a couple of them a year with sophisticated methods. My colleague Al Bielek has actually been on some of the high-speed railways. The magneto-leviton trains that connect all the deep underground military bases within the United States. He's been on a Mach 2 train and floats off of a single rail at a 3/4 inch off the rail, and is what you'd call high tech. We have nothing like this on the surface. The public basically has been totally lied to. We're considered stupid or even moronic in some cases. During the unbelievable part, I was involved in building another base inside of Dulce, New Mexico, which is Los Alamos Laboratory. It's a biological laboratory. On the southwest part of the Archuleta Mesa, we built an underground facility, a better part of 3 cubic miles hollowed out underground. Then to the southwest of that, we were in the process of the early stages of building. We drilled 4 large tunnel-like holes. Some of them ran 2.5 miles under surface. At that time, number of the original wells or drilling machines that were used were the rate of up 2 miles a day. It was fairly rapid. Of the 131 deep underground military bases are basic cities for them. Right underneath our feet is a macabre sight indeed.
Are you aware of this asteroid headed toward the Earth?
Yes, Nemesis is called Nemesis. It's a brown star. It's probably hollow. It's maybe not a star at all. It has a specific gravity of a little less than 2.718 or something like that, which means it's extremely hollow and light, has a mass of 10 times the size of Jupiter. It is so massive, it's dragging comets and meteoritic material with it, and space garbage and debris. It's dragging it at such a rate, just the debris encircling our solar system enough to destroy half the planets of it. So, yeah, it'll be a threat. It's headed for us right now. Supposedly it'll be here in 2052. Nobody knows for certain, or it'll be within closeness of the Earth. Within 500 million miles, which is plenty close indeed.
We are now aware of a very large object that is coming into the solar system, and there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X.
We know the governments are seeing it, but the question is for us, what are they seeing? Most likely this is a large object with a group of satellites, a mini constellation, but it could be a comet. It could just simply be a massive rock. It could be any number of things. What we do know is it is big, it has mass, and it has the ability to perturb the sun electrically. When this flyby happens, this is going to be a slow motion train wreck for a long time. You know, you're going to run out of those supplies, and it's going to be catch as catch can, and you're going to have to work together with other people to build survival communities.
I believe that Planet X is actually a spent brown dwarf star. I think that it's at least the size of Saturn, but probably much more massive. And I believe that it's a celestial body that is connected to our solar system. This particular subject is little understood and not very much accepted by most modern-day astronomers. A brown dwarf star is simply a luminary body that failed to ignite like our sun did. Basically, it has mass. It has heat. It does not have the kind of color. That's why they call them brown dwarfs. They're like a muddy red. One of the reasons that they can't detect this particular body is because the range of light that it gives off is not easily detected that far away in space. And I also believe that it's coming in from the southern quadrant, and therefore coming in from behind the sun. This orbit is greatly elonged. By the way, I also believe is a sister sun to our sun that we see every day
okay.
when we wake up in the morning.
Well, there are some who believe that we have a binary star system.
Things happening, you know, building the Denver airport and spending all that money. I mean, they're still working on that Denver airport 17 years later, and it typically takes about 2 years to build an airport, and they're still working on that thing. Yeah, the Denver airport, you know, they built it, this high-tech roof out of this Kevlar-like material, and also it's built on these gigantic metal poles, okay, which I would tend to think possibly that could be used to thwart coronal mass ejections or EMPs. Basically, so that it's all grounded out. In order to stop an EMP, you have to ground it out. And they built that airport with a Kevlar roof that's attached to these gigantic-looking lightning rods.
We, of course, have a situation in which we have the government moving a lot of these alphabet soup agencies to higher ground. You have the Denver International Airport, which is a real enigma in itself. You have just a number of strange things going on. Of course, the Norway Seed Vault, the Norwegian Spiral, and
Governor Jesse Ventura went down and got the hard evidence. He went on his television program down into Cheyenne Mountain. I don't know how he was allowed there, but he took the videotapes and had his older films with his producer, Michael Braverman. And Michael Braverman spoke to the colonel who was in charge of security down there at these underground facilities for the powerful and elite of the world in Colorado. Under the mountain, Colonel Wynn said, you people are not going to, no one's going to get in here. We have these huge, massive, multi-ton steel doors, and they're going to be locked shut when the crises occur. And by the time you get here, you're not going to be hit. You can knock all day. You can't get in. That's what Colonel Wynn, who was in charge of security at the underground facility in Colorado.
Underground bases, and why the underground bases, why the underground terrain? There's been rumors of cities, tunnels, underground railways. What are we talking about here? He says they have tunnels that lead to from New York to California and to many different places, and you can travel up to speeds of Mach 2. That's fast. He said you can be in California and be in New York in hours, in just a few hours. And he says it's incredible. He said there's underground cities, underground lighting, underground travel. I've had many confirmations of this, that right outside, I think it's 20 miles offshore Honolulu, there is a base that is deep under water. And I can actually take you to ancient writings that will tell you there is things under the water. And I can take you to oil companies that know there are things under the water.
And Colorado has more classified material underground there and more computing power, quantum computing, than all the rest of the planet put together by a very large order of magnitude. And most of these facilities are in underground cities. And I was in one of them, and it was very impressive. It's a Schriever Air Force Base, east 18 miles east of Colorado Springs. And the facility, the main facility building is actually underground, about a quarter mile. It was shielded in 2.5 inches of seamless stainless steel, ringed by an anti-missile system and scalar weapons, as well as a full tactical division of Star Wars weaponry. There's 132 under the United States, an average of 5.36 to 7.24 cubic miles in size, an average of 1.5 to 4.5 miles underground, built by and large most of them in areas away from geotectonic areas, but there's going to be lots of new geotectonic faults established when you have force 11, 12, and 13 and 14 earthquakes that hit the earth. The earth, as it says in the Bible, will shake like a hut. Why are they rushing to do this? Because they know a catastrophe is coming. And where's this money coming from? It's not coming from our regular blackout budgets. It's coming from the illegal sale of drugs.
And I would guess if they're building seed banks for seeds, these tunnels must be for the folks they want to keep behind.
Yeah, and see, that raises a real question. I'm inclined to believe that the people should be told, George, if there's going to be cataclysm upcoming, and the federal alphabet soup and other agencies around the world know that there is an excellent chance that this is going to happen. I really believe that people should be informed. Those who lavish our money on themselves so that they can make extensive, expensive, and sophisticated preparations for their survival in the event that bad things happen to the planet, while making no provision for the survival of others and not even informing others of what is about to come down. In my view, that is not only unethical, it is borderline evil.
But as far as underground bases, facilities, and shelters, there's actually quite a few of those. Cheyenne Mountain is one. Mount Weather is another one. It's worth looking into because they have been hollowing out these facilities, which, again, you know, there's something to be said for an underground shelter. However, if you're dealing with floods as well, then you want to shelter inside a mountain, something that's above sea level already. So, yeah.
There were over 650 attendees to the 1959 RAND Symposium. Most were representatives of the corporate industrial state, like the General Electric Company, AT&T, Hughes Aircraft, Northrop Corporation, Sandia Corporation, Colorado School of Mines, etc. Bechtel is a super secret international corporate octopus founded in 1898. Some say the firm is really a shadow government, a working arm of the CIA. It is the largest construction of engineering outfit in the USA and the world. The most important posts in the USA government are held by former Bechtel officers. They are a part of the web, which links the Trilaterals plans, the CFR, the Order of Illuminism, and other interlocking groups. How about the corporations that are building and working on these things? Just to name a few, GE, Bechtel, Lockheed Martin, and the RAND Corporation.
The map that is on my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, showing the new coastline of North America. About the same time, federal government gave NASA the responsibility for developing the cover story. They knew what would happen 30 years in the future, which is right now, that things would be getting very strange and very bizarre. The cover story they picked was global warming, created by man-made CO2 greenhouse gases.
Going to take you on a journey to the end of the earth to show you a place that might someday save humankind. It's a bank built to last 10,000 years. If you could clear away the ice, you'd see that officially the bank is called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. It's built to warehouse backup copies of all the world's crops, 1.5 billion seeds. If an asteroid strikes the Earth, seeds to restart agriculture would come from here. Norway paid for construction, Bill Gates paid for the shipping, and seeds from nearly every nation are locked inside.
Not 40 years in the future. Now, take the seed vault up in Norway. If they knew they needed a vault 40 years in the future, would they spend all that money to get it done in 6 months? I doubt Bill Gates would be really all that concerned about building a building that wouldn't be needed for 40 years.
I know he has a lot of money to spend, but he certainly wouldn't throw it away.
No, he's not frivolous with spending
money. No, he's not, right.
No. No.
Oh, the cave cities, of course, NASA has been big in building cave cities. Remember the big jumbo jet? It flew actually into Minneapolis International Airport over the pole from Russia. It had this gigantic tunneling bit in it, the only plane in the world that could transport this and get it over to the United States. Then it had to make a gas stop in Minneapolis International Airport, which was the only runway big enough and heavy enough to land this plane. Then that plane flew to Houston, where it went to NASA. And that was very clear evidence that NASA was involved in tunneling with giant cave-making machines. These are nuclear-powered cave-making machines. As the heat comes off the engine, the big generator, and then the electric motor, there's a lot of heat involved. And, of course, in just grinding out the cave, these are big circular caves, there's a lot of heat involved, so it actually solidifies and creates a glass tunnel as it goes. And now these are all over the country, underneath, connecting many parts of the country now. NASA has been very busy building cave cities and, of course, in obvious preparation for an object that could come into the solar system from afar that they were researching back in the 80s under a guy named Harrington, under contract to NASA from the Naval Observatory. The Queen going to NASA, Goddard Space Flight Center, clearly that's her cave central office, just a little hop over the pond, so to speak, And there's the Queen on U.S. soil. Now, understand that England is not a good place to put caves, so the Queen does not have her own cave facility in England. It just wouldn't happen. The underground structure and England as an island is too small. So the bottom line is that the Queen is just establishing her quarters in this country.
There's obviously something momentous is about to happen. Most people kind of feel in their guts that the globalist fact that they're not protecting the grid, that the Congress puts through a bill to protect the grid from a coronal mass ejection, which every regular, even regular scientists are saying, and yet the Senate blocks it, stops it. Something terrible is coming, and they can almost feel it. That's why the economy is having these shutters. We see the housing sales dropping. Something is going to happen between now and next summer that's going to change the whole psychology of the planet. And they're talking about, quote, first contact as well with, quote, ET, which we know are the fallen ones. People need to be get prepared for the fact that we're going to be on a level that's going to transcend normal, what I call, day-to-day reality, whereby next summer, according to some of the scientists that I've have been in contact with, they'll start seeing an object in the southern hemisphere that doesn't belong there. And once people start to get the word out, they're not going to be able to keep the lid on that. Yeah, you'll be able to get some binoculars in your backyard or a decent backyard telescope. You'll be able to get some binoculars in your backyard or a decent backyard telescope, and you'll be able to see it. You won't need an infrared telescope or an X-ray telescope or a South Pole telescope that's been watching it for years. You'll be able to see it with a good your backyard telescope or high-powered binoculars.
There's more than one object.
Yes.
So what will be seen as naked eye visible next summer, all the talking heads will come out and say, oh, yes, there it is, but see, it is not on a collision course with Earth. And they will be right. But that is not the object of concern.
That'll be the spin right there.
We also will be dodging an asteroid. A small asteroid will zip close by Earth on Tuesday. The asteroid is called 2010 TD54. It'll fly within 28,000 miles of the planet Earth. Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates on with us. Stephen, so we luck out on this one, but you know what? Just might be a matter of time, huh?
Absolutely, George. The object is maybe some 23 feet in diameter. A most interesting object, because this object, only discovered a few days ago, really tells us that, who knows, maybe we don't have that kind of warning in the future when an object much bigger might come by.
If you watched Barry Satoro, a.k.a. the president, he made his case to NASA workers in Florida on Thursday for abandoning plans to return to the moon, and instead, we need to aim for asteroids.
NASA's Hubble Space Telescope has captured what scientists believe are the first images of a collision between two asteroids. Remarkable. The images, taken from January to May with Hubble's Wide Field Camera 3, show a bizarre X-shaped object, the likes of which astronomers have never seen before.
And because we like to at least try to end the day, if not the week, with some good news, while it was a little tough this week, we found something. It was bad news for Jupiter, actually. Look at this loop of video shot by an amateur astronomer. It shows Jupiter getting hit by what was a massive fireball, apparently an asteroid or a comet, attempting to enter our solar system. Now, where's the good news here? As one astronomer put it, quote, Jupiter took one for the team, helping life on Earth evolve without too many impact events to ruin our day.
You know, things hit Jupiter a lot more often than we imagined. If you remember back in 1994, we saw this spectacular string of pearls comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 that dribbled into the atmosphere of Jupiter after being pulled apart the year before by Jupiter's gravity. Last June, telescopic observer in Australia was video monitoring Jupiter and recorded an impact flash into the clouds of Jupiter. So back on June 3rd, Jupiter got hit again. And wouldn't you know it, just about a week and a half ago, August 20th, again a little impact flash into the atmosphere of Jupiter.
And that's why they built Denver Airport, so they can go underground while we all kill each other fighting for the last scraps of food and water and the rest of it. And I say that these guys are criminals, and we ought to do everything we can to prosecute them before Planet X gets here.
Planet X is coming around. It happens every 3,600 years, so it's not going to strike the Earth, and we're going to get tidal fluctuations and flooding on the inland coastal areas, and that's why these guys are building all their underground stuff.
Again, I maintain that what this is, it's probably a T-class or an L-class series brown dwarf star. It's basically the second heaviest body in the solar system. It is part of the solar system. It doesn't come into and go out of the solar system. It's the second heaviest body in the solar system.
Solar flares are starting up again after a very long hiatus, and they are predicted to be unbelievable. NASA warns that the recent massive flare wasn't an anomaly. It's just the beginning. A massive solar storm is building up that could wipe out Earth's entire power grid. Similar storms in 1959, 1921, 1859 have wiped out telegraph wires on a massive scale. NASA says that a similar storm today could cause $1 to $2 trillion in damages to society's high-tech infrastructure and require 4 to 10 years for complete recovery. Can you believe that? Could be the worst and most violent in 100 years.
It is a brown dwarf star. It is either a small star or it is a big planet.
Do any of you think there's something going on to the sun that we should be very concerned about? I mean, is there a danger that, you know, it's going to set off a solar flare that could scorch the planet or anything like that?
Well, when we see things we've never seen before, such as that X-28 here, then we have to say, what else haven't we seen? How much more can it go?
Right. Exactly. And if we get hit directly, and George, we probably all three of us have talked with you on the show about that topic, and if we got hit directly with some of these big-time flares, and we've been lucky not to be directly hit, it took out our grid system. I mean, really took it out. Electricity runs everything.
Sure.
How would we replace the components and get this whole operation back up and running?
Well, see, all the satellites out there.
Well, and I'm concerned not only about the electrical problems we'd have on this planet, but I'm also concerned about the possibility of an actual huge solar flare with these unbelievable hot gases. I mean, they could literally kill the planet. I'm wondering if that has happened in the past.
We know that the power elite have built these underground cities. So they're planning on surviving Planet X.
Right. They know this is coming, and they want to be on the high ground.
Right. The new NASA is going to be out there by Truth or Consequences, and what Branson is building out there. And that's partially underground, too.
Solar storms change direction, surprising forecasters. September 21st, 2010. Solar storms don't always travel in a straight line, but once they start heading in our direction, they can accelerate rapidly, gathering steam for a harder hit on Earth's magnetic field.
The number one reason for NASA's existence is to explore nearby worlds and outer space in order to find definitive proof of a cyclic catastrophe, to confirm what the Freemasons had passed down. And they found their evidence within 10 years of the inception of NASA. So they know now that prophecies and the knowledge that has been successfully passed down is accurate. There is a periodic solar storm that literally wipes everything out on the planet, rearranges the geology, the continents, everything.
They've been watching these things for decades. This is nothing new. This is like,
right.
It's one of their biggest projects. It's billions and billions of dollars been put into things like the SPT South Pole Telescope that launched fully in July of 2007, the Chandra X-ray Telescope that they launched a year ago, the SOFIA infrared telescope that was a German-made telescope put in an American Boeing jet. That they can fly up to 40,000 feet and they can see infrared objects from space without any interference from water vapor. You realize the thing they're worried about is not that it's going to impact us, but that it's going to affect the inner solar system. And the most serious thing it's going to do, it'll trigger off a coronal mass ejection of the sun. That's the most likely thing to happen.
Given this scenario of the ever-present comet, someday in the future, or looking back to the past, one can well imagine that there's a lot of containment going on by the leaders of the world. The only way they can contain the public at this point would be by force, because a lot of the people would be saying to themselves, that government up there in Washington, D.C. is not going to be able to help me. This is too big an issue. A lot of people would realize that even if they had an invitation to a cave city, it's not exactly where they want to be. So you're going to have people trying to escape, trying to go into the country, trying to build a primitive existence because they know that that's their only hope of survival. Why do you think there's been a tremendous amount of planning to contain people in the cities?
So many governments are building underground bunkers, some say cities, for their own chosen few.
Yes, isn't that interesting that the governments of the world are building massive underground complexes? Here in the United States, we've got them where, right out here in California, China Lake, and up in Utah, we've got
Area 51. There's something under the Denver airport.
And a massive, huge complex under the Denver airport. And by the way, Denver connects to these other places underground.
They're creating a seed bank.
Oh, yeah. Massively in Russia and also massively in Israel. You know, there's some places where there's massive tunnel complexes that are being dug to protect the politicians, you know, make the world safe for lawyers. And just let everybody else burn.
I had never understood why they would want to go underground to protect themselves against earthquakes. I've since found out that they claim that if the place is located in a proper depth, proper point on the Earth's surface, below the Earth's surface, it can be safe. And if it's constructed properly, it can be safe. But also, here's a major reason why they're going underground. And I realized that when I saw the movie Knowing. They're warning us about what is about to happen. I realize that solar scorching is the major reason why they're going underground, because people are going to be scorched on the surface of the Earth. This warning has been put out by none other than the highest scientific organizations in the United States. John, I would like to mention that I think we should begin to warn our audience that they should start really thinking about and working together with us in preparing for solar storms that I suspect and many other people suspect are going to be occurring this year or next year. Solar storms that could be so severe that two major catastrophes will result. One would be the destruction of our power grids, and that would throw us back into a primitive lifestyle. We would be overnight forced into ancient
ways of living. We've got a lot of evidence to indicate that these solar storms are coming soon. We could talk about Planet X and how it is exciting the sun and beginning to excite the sun after its this two-year lull in solar activity, which I believe was due to Planet X passing below Jupiter and Planet X and its hordes of surrounding comets interacting electrically with Jupiter, drawing electrical fire away from the sun and toward Jupiter, but that was just a temporary lull before the storm. Now we can expect solar blasting. How are we going to prepare to live without power? Number two, how are we going to prepare to live when we are being blasted by the sun with temperatures scorching, burning up, people dying on the surface of the Earth from intense solar blasting?